Good morning, everyone. Glad you could be with us in the house of the Lord this morning. It's a beautiful morning out here, and we're just so glad you're with us. And we're going to start our service off this morning with an old favorite, number 223. It's Hallelujah. 223. Let's all stand and sing.
Morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see each of you this morning. I'm glad you're able to be here. Just remember those that aren't here and those that can't be here for health reasons and other reasons, but continue to lift us up, our pastor and our deacons, and we're just thankful for this time together with you and with our church family. I have one announcement. Particular, Miss Tammy Bledsoe, excuse me. Miss Tammy Bledsoe sent me a text and wanted to remind those that are going to be in the Easter scenes. If you haven't been measured or your robe, it's not of white yet, but your robe, and Sister Sheila is going to be here to help you if you haven't tried yours on and make it fit. She has plenty of pins back there to stick you and make sure it sticks to your skin. So.
And they've all been sanitized.
So, but anyway, if you could stay after church for just a little while and be able to do that so you can make sure that we have the costumes fitted well. And if you'd like to volunteer for some of this for Easter scene, tell Miss Sheila, and they'll work out whatever you need to do to help. Also, I'd like to thank the church for the love offering we took last Sunday to help the family. And we received $40 beyond the amount we needed for the graveside opening and closing. So we appreciate it. Appreciate your love for others and for giving. And just thank you. Church. Any other announcements, Pastor?
No, I would like to have a deacon.
Deacons meeting Tuesday night,
six o'clock
in the pastor's office. So remember that if you're a deacon. Any other announcements, anyone? I'd like to announce something not new, but repeating that God loves you. And we love you, And we thank so much to the Lord for you and your service and your commitment to the church. And we're going to get through this. It might not be the way everybody would want it to be or the way I want it to be, but we're going to get through it together and get back into church and being able to serve the Lord and being able to go visit. And we're just so thankful for all this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and thank Him for this service and this day. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You've loved us another day and You've allowed us to rise another day and be able to put our feet on the ground and be able to walk. Because, Lord, we know many people can't even do that. And we know many people who woke up this morning, they look, but they can't see. They're blind. And Lord, there's others that have sin in their life, and they can't speak Your name because it reminds them of where they are with You. They're lost and undone. And we just pray for those that are lost. In our prayer list, we have 120 people or so that are lost that we know of around. And we could probably add that 10 times, multiply it 10 times, and still wouldn't reach the lost. And sometimes we forget, Father, that if we're saved, we forget that others aren't. And it's like we're comfortable in our zone, in our church, in our pew. But there's a world around us that's lost and undone and without knowing You. And if they don't change their lives, You tell us in Your word that they are condemned to hell, not for a little while, but for eternity. So we just pray, Lord, for those, and for those that are backslidden, or those that are having issues in their families or marriage or finances. Lord, we all have issues in our lives, and nobody's exempt. So we just continue to pray for those and these requests that's been made so often. And most of all, we just thank You for hearing our prayers. Yes. And thank You for our church family and the love we feel back and forth with each other. And we thank You so much for our pastor and his family and his willingness to serve and to preach and to teach Your word, thus saith the Lord. And not mince words, but speak the truth in Your word. And we just thank You again for this day and for loving us and for giving us this time together. May it be joyful. And may we make a joyful noise unto You, Lord, for You are so wonderful, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
How many people this morning woke up and wondered if today was the day that Jesus come back?
Amen.
I try to do that, you know, every morning you reflect on, you know, what if it is today. And as Christians, you know, that's our main job, is to help us along to make other Christians. So with that, let's sing number 195, What If It Was Today.
I'm ready, bud.
All right. I believe the preacher's fired up and ready to go here, so hope everybody brought their lunch. Suffering affords perfect healing for all. This wonderful healer's mind. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely His stripes we are healed. Came the leper to Christ, saying, surely I know that thou, Lord, can make me whole. When his great faith was seen, Jesus said, yes, I will, and touched him and made him clean. He has healed my sick soul, made me every whit whole, and he'll do the same for you. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, this healer of men today. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
Let me look at that just a second. All right. Do you have any idea what I'm preaching today? Do you have any idea? No. Turn to Luke chapter 17, the 10 lepers. Turn to Luke chapter 17, the 10 lepers. Chapter 17, actually verse 11. To those of you that are, but you can already see God's hands in this service, right? I mean, if there was any doubt about it, that right there, you can say it's happenstance, but I mean, say what you want to say. Explain what you want to explain, but the hand of God has been here. As you're turning to, or is here, And we invite Him because without the Holy Spirit, it's all vain and useless, and we're meeting here for nothing. I do ask you to pray for me today. I feel weak in the flesh, weak in the spirit. But we always want to remind you, those of you that's in the parking lot, watching by Facebook, if you're here in-house with us, we want to tell you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Amen. As you're turning to Luke chapter 17, last Sunday, as Monday morning dawned, really I had two thoughts for this morning's message. And the first one was kingdom living in a dying culture. Kingdom living, and we were going to look in 1 Peter chapter 2. So get ready, that one's going to come before long, all right? And then there was Daniel in the lion's den. Remember, we looked at the three Hebrew boys a few Sundays ago and when they were in the fire pit. Now we need to go and look at Daniel because there comes a time that there's a king who knows not Daniel. And that's when you see havoc released. And to be honest with you, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 were not on my mind. Matter of fact, as I set up for 1 to 3 o'clock this morning, hoping that I didn't miss the time change, God began to work this within my mind, and He began to think of it. And so I come in, I tried to look. I know I preached it here at least in 2017, or this scripture, not the same sermon, but this scripture, in 2017. And then it said November 29th, 2020. And I went through all of my stuff and couldn't find it. So the old is new again. Amen? If you are watching with us this morning, we challenge you, and those of you that are in here, we challenge you to share the message. Our shares have gone down, and thus our views have went down. If we have 30 or more people share Thomas Village's post on Sunday morning, by the next Sunday, at least 1,000 people, usually, over 1,000, but usually at least 1,000 have been touched by the gospel and the ministry of Thomas Village Baptist Church. Is that not awesome? That makes you want to push the share button, or at least it does me. So as you're getting ready to share, we want to remind you that this morning's message will be in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And again, like Brother Otis says, we are going to get through this season of COVID. We do see the light at the end of the tunnel, amen. But we were also reminded this week that it is shows no favoritism in who it jumps on. So we do want to be praying for many today that are battling. As we are mindful of the Bledsoe family, we just put them in the gap for all of those this morning that are battling with COVID. How many of you have lost a loved one because of COVID? Raise your hand. Or a friend. Anybody? It's a lot, ain't it? I mean, it's amazing. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as we start in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be this: A Life Built on Thanks, Not Complaints. A life built on thanks and not complaints. And it came to pass as He, meaning Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, He said to them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, meaning Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. This person was probably a Samaritan. And he's saying, out of all the 10, this Gentile comes back to praise me. And then in verse 19, he said, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in the word of prayer, trying to learn to live a life built on our thanks, not on our complaints. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for the rising of the sun. And that means for me personally and for everyone in this room, You have a purpose today. Lord, I rebuke my sin-filled mind. I rebuke my flesh and sinful flesh right now. And I ask you, person of the Holy Spirit, to take control of my thoughts, take control of my tongue, take control of everything in this service, the hearts and ears of those that's listening in this place, in the parking lot, those that's listening by Facebook. Lord, we need you right now to speak to us. Need you to touch us like Jesus touched these lepers. And God, I praise you today for what you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Forgive me. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Built on thanks and not complaints. Last week we looked at the how-to. Basically it was if you remember, we started out in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, and the man who looked over into the third heaven, which we believe is Paul. And Paul makes a statement. This is the passage where he says, I asked the Lord to remove this thorn in my flesh three times. But Paul says God told him no, but he gave him a reason why. He says, I'm allowing this thorn. I'm allowing this storm. I'm allowing this issue, as Brother Otis said this morning. I'm allowing this in your life because if it wasn't in your life, with the revelation that I've given to you, with the relationship that you now have with me, you would get conceited. And so therefore, God allowed that thorn in the flesh to remain. And then Paul lists off different things that we could consider there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. We could consider them storms or sorrows or thorns. He talks about sickness, struggles of life, all these other things that are going on. And he says, you know what? I'm going to continue going on through these issues. I'm going to continue pressing on through these storms. I'm going to continue pressing on through these hard times. I mean, you think about everything that Paul went through in his life. And you know why? He said, I'm going to do it for one reason and one reason only. And that is in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says he'll do it. Why? For Christ's sake. Or basically, on account of Jesus. I'm gonna deal with this thorn. I'm gonna stand in these storms. I'm gonna battle these storms. Even though I'm weak, you remember that? He says, I'm weak in this. And remember what he says, God says, but remember, in your weakness, I am made strong. I am uplifted. Well, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he, meaning God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more in my weakness so that Christ's power might reside in me. You hear what he's saying? He said, I'm willing to let myself be weakened. If the storm comes or the trials comes or whatever, I'm willing to go almost to the edge of defeat because in that, then the power of God is stronger. How many of you feel wore out today? Just tired. How many of you is happy about the time change? I'm not. I hate it. I really hate it. But you know what? It caused issues in my life this morning. It made me sit up half the night. But you know what? In my weakness, guess what? Because I didn't get enough sleep. So he's going to have to be strong enough this morning. Amen? How many of you are there? All right. But you remember if last week when we looked at it and we kind of let you lose 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as a diving board looking at that. And remember we had 4 points. And those 4 points, basically it was a battle plan. How to be victorious in the midst of the trials. How to be victorious in the midst of the sickness or the storms or when the thorns seem to be more real. We saw that number one, we've got to take control over our thoughts. We cannot let our thoughts run away with us. That's why we're told in the Bible that we're to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. Because before we ever do anything, it's got to be thought of in our mind. Amen? Lots of times we'll do things without thinking because it's such a habit anymore. We don't even have to think about it. We just, our body naturally does. That's what a horse does. I talked to you about that Wednesday night. We had a quarter horse. As long as you could keep that quarter horse's eyes away from the barn, it would go as good as you wanted to. But immediately when it round the corner and it saw that barn, guess what it did? It hunkered down and cannon barrel rolled all the way to there. And why? Because That was what was natural to him. And you know what? In this life, I got to thinking this over as I was thinking of getting ready for this sermon. I was thinking, you know what, Lord? As we think about thanksgiving versus complaints, I was talking to God and I thought, God, we have a lot of reasons to give complaints. As I was looking at that, take control of your thoughts. And then we studied how to count your blessings and to continue work and then concentrate on seeing God's hand on a daily basis. Like I said, I got to thinking, Lord, we've got a lot to complain about. And I think it's okay complaining sometimes. We've got COVID-19. I don't like what COVID-19 is doing to our country or our state. And especially I don't like what it's done to our church. Now, it's not going to defeat us, but like the thorn in the flesh, it can get very agitating, can't it? It can be very agitating. Well, gas prices, my goodness. I'm looking to buy a used Corolla if you got one because I can't afford a F-150 gas prices right now. It'll be $4 come summer. I'm just going to complain about it right now, okay? Y'all, if you think my complaints are agreeable, say amen, okay? The number of semi-truck drivers on the road on Thursdays and Fridays, or Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm thankful for you truck drivers, but I believe y'all ought to have your own highway. And that you just get on that and you do your thing. But I want you to know I love you, okay? I don't honk at you or nothing like that. I love you and I'm thankful for you. And then there's other things. There's our health, family issues, different things like that. And you know what came to my mind? Last week I was driving, Brother Otis has been good enough to let me drive his truck. And you remember we talked about last week why bad things happen to good people. And immediately when I was driving around his truck thinking about it, I heard him say, there is none good but one. How many of you ever heard Brother Otis say that? And it just echoed in his truck. But listen, we're building on the precept from last week about surviving or victorious in the storms. And today we're going to build on one of those precepts, and that precept is, after we take control over our mind, then we have to count our blessings. We need to count our blessings. We have so many things to complain for, and immediately this verse come into my mind, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. Jot that down. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. Listen what it says. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. You know what God said to me? There is not one new complaint that you can lay out before me that men before you have not already complained about it. You know that? You know that? It's already been. And matter of fact, I want you to think about this. You remember we talked about a while ago that we have some things in our life that we don't even have to think about to do them. Our body just naturally gets up in the morning, you brush your teeth and do all that. Can I tell you that not only is it easier to complain than to give thanks, but it is more natural to the human being to complain than it is to give thanks. You see, this is an area of that stinking thinking that we've talked about. Many things that we look at in a human way is completely against the way that God looks at them in the spiritual way. God looks at death. What does He say? He says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. What do we say about it? It's the worst thing that could happen. Worst thing that could happen. What does He say about vengeance and getting someone back? We say, hey, if you do me wrong, I'm going to do you double wrong. But what does He say? Turn your cheek. You see that the mind of God and the mind of humanity are completely against one another. That's why we as Christians, we cannot trust our human nature. We can't trust our heart. We can't even trust our intellect. That is why, and you're going to hear this a lot in this sermon today, but let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And as you've heard this morning, I can get caught up in complaining. I can. I'm good at it. And you know what? Here's the thing. I've recognized it, but I don't want to be the complainer. You know, I don't want to be that. And so I've told my wife, if I get to complaining, to let me know. I had to change it from, if I go to complaining a bunch, slap me upside the head, because I would be wearing a slap most days because of that. People have, do, and always will be able to find something to complain about. Something that is not right in society. Maybe it's a family issue, a marriage, or whatever, but there's something that's just sticking inside of you. And most of us, many of us would be like Paul. We've prayed about the things we complain about. We've asked God to take them out of our life because it would be so much easier not to deal with that in our life. Right? But like God, we may not get the specific answer like Paul did, but we know that God's on the throne, and whatever He allows in our life, He is allowing it for a purpose, for our good and for His glory. Amen? Stinking thinking. Listen, what is Thanksgiving? And if you'll notice, that's what this account between the 10 Pharisees or the 10 lepers and between Jesus Christ, notice it begins with them giving thanksgiving. Notice in verse 13 it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us." What is thanksgiving? Listen what thanksgiving is. The Dictionary of Biblical Language says that a thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks, is a confession of thanks. To speak words of personal praise. A musical group. To make a public admission, to extol or to lift up and to make much of. That's what giving thanks is. Basically, it is to make much of our God. To make much of Christ Jesus. Merriam-Webster puts it like this: the acts of giving thanks, a prayer expressing gratitude, a public acknowledge or celebration of divine goodness. Now, which one's more easy? To complain or to get caught up in a public declaration of divine goodness? You know what? We're more scared of speaking out publicly for Jesus Christ than we are most of anything else. We are. It just, why? Because that comes natural to us. We don't have to fight that. We don't have to go against that. But see, think about how serious God is about the praise that we give to Him. The idea of thanks or give thanks is used 22 or more times in the book of Psalms alone. It's used, the phrase give thanks is used 18 times in the New Testament, and the word thanks is used some 61 times in all of the New Testament. Christ Jesus was a man, or is a man, of thanksgiving. Remember, we're to be followers of Him, imitators of Him. And listen, when He was standing at the tomb of Lazarus over in John 11, verse 25, He says, "And whatever you do, in word or do, do everything in the name of Jesus." I think I've got the wrong verse on this one. But He said, Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we see that our Savior, He taught and illustrated a life of thanksgiving. If you look at Him, you'll see that He gives thanksgiving a lot in His prayers. If you think about the greatest known of apostles, Paul, when in all of his epistles, he wrote on giving thanks. Most of them, he began with the idea of thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Notice he did not say, the Holy Spirit through Paul, did not say, "Give thanks for every situation you find yourself in." No, God doesn't expect us to be ignorant or dumb. He recognizes that there are situations we're not going to enjoy. But in spite of those situations, we are still to be a people of thanks, or public confession and uplifting of His name. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, how many of you woke up this morning and the first thing you did was say, don't raise your hand, okay? Because if you did it real early, you'll make me feel bad. But how many of you, the first thing that come to your mind, maybe even before your feet hit the floor, was, "Thank you, God, for another day." I didn't do it today. You know what it was that struck it in my mind today, really? I mean, I was in there working on a sermon of thanksgiving, but you know really what got it? I got up, I had to go to the bathroom, and I walked by the door down there, and I heard a bird tweet. And you know what that was? That was the hand of God being illustrated to me. That was God's glory being shown to me, that He let that bird chirp, tweet, twerp, whatever you want to call it, just at the right time. And He knew how that tweet, twerp, twiddle, whatever it was, He knew how that was going to touch me on the inside. He knew. And you know what? I tell him, I probably will never see that bird. But this day, God used his bird to bring me to a place of thanksgiving. What is it today that he's done, or what is he doing to try to get you to bring you to a place of thanks instead of complaints? Since this does not come naturally, we can all admit it, that it's easier to complain than it is to give thanks. Just like it's easier for us to live a life of sin than it is to walk in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are fallen creatures. So, by the Holy Spirit's power, we have to purpose in our hearts to become people of thanks. It's not going to happen overnight. If you've been saved and the Holy Spirit's living within you, you should already be to a place where you don't have to be coaxed to give thanks. You don't have to be motivated by lights and smoke and all that kind of stuff. Just the fact that we woke up today. So here in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 17, there are three things that I believe we can apply to our life. And if we do that, we will have a life that is built on thanks instead of complaints. Let's set the scene. Look there in verse 11. It says, he, meaning Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, if you try to trace this out on the map, one thing's going to be hard. You're going to find any other city besides Jerusalem. And then if you do look at Samaria and Galilee, basically it looks like Jesus makes a big old loop on the map. And many scholars and many writers says, why would he have went that way? If he was going to Jerusalem, why didn't he just take the straight route? Well, number one, we've got to recognize, if we're going to be a people of thanks and not a people of complaints, we've got to recognize that Christ Jesus certainly does not do it the way that it's expected. Amen? He doesn't do things the way you and I think. He doesn't do things the way that we would expect. He doesn't do things the way we write it out and say, just put your name on it. He doesn't do it like that. He does it his way, and we know this too. Many times in Scripture, Jesus literally goes out of his way to find a lost soul. Amen? You remember there in the book of John, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, and he, meaning Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Jews didn't go through Samaria. Why? Because those were half-breeds. They were less than an animal. And it was easier to bypass Samaria than it was to go straight through. But Jesus knew of a lost soul, and he said, you can take the path you want to take all the way into Jerusalem, but I need to go through Samaria. You see, he's willing to take the long way for you. Praise God. How much has he put up with out of us? Amen? How much? And praise God, if you're watching, Jesus is walking. He'll go out of the way. Praise God, he's done it, went out of the way. He come out of the way of heaven and the street of gold so that he could clothe himself in man's humanity. That's how far he went for your salvation. That's how far. But look, it says that when he passed through the middle, that these men, they had leprosy. There in verse 12, it says, in the certain village, not sure, but it says, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. You know, I've stopped simply assuming that people know the good old stories of the Bible. The people of the Bible. And I'm recognizing that we live in a time of biblical illiteracy. Not because people can't read, but there's something else they would rather read than the Word of God. What is leprosy? Let's talk about leprosy for just a second. It says leprosy is a chronic infection, infectious disease caused by microbacterium, affecting especially the skin and the nerves. It's characterized by the formation of nodules that enlarge, kind of like big pimples, and spread accompanied by loss of sensations with eventual paralysis, wasting away of muscle, and produces infirmities. And it's also called the Hansen's disease. Now you know what it is. I'm just going to tell you what it looks like. Red spots begin on the skin. You begin to lose the ability to feel when you touch something. And pain prickly pinpoints feel like they're stabbing into your skin. You begin to have weakness in your hands and your feet. It disfigures your face and your body because the swelling and the putrid sickness and infection that's in it. It gives you not only disfigurement, but you have nerve damage, eye damage. It can make you blind. You lose your hair. And ultimately, you begin to lose your digits. And it's mildly contagious, is what they say. Listen at that. This is so bad that it changes the way you look and causes you to feel nothing. And ultimately, you literally fall apart. So it was so bad. Leprosy is so bad that when God gave the law to Moses, He put a whole chapter on nothing but how to deal with the disease of leprosy. Over in Leviticus chapter 13, it tells all about leprosy. Now this morning I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. My daddy would die if he knew I was reading out of that. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation because it's just easier to read. But listen what it says in Leviticus chapter 13, beginning in verse 44. About leprosy. The man is indeed infected with this skin disease and is unclean. The priest must announce him ceremonially unclean, unclean. Those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean, unclean, as long as the serious disease lasts. They will be ceremonial unclean and they must live in isolations outside the camp. You see what should have happened? Now catch this picture. These men, notice it says as Jesus is entering into it and Jesus is coming down the road, these men, if they were obeying the law while Jesus was coming at a distance, Jesus may not could have recognized them, they couldn't recognize him. What were they supposed to be doing? Unclean, unclean, leper, leper. And you know what a lot of people would do? They'd say, Brother John was here. They'd say, get on out of here, go. Go, I don't, you nasty. I give you the stink eye. Just get on. But that's not what Jesus did he? No, he didn't. Listen, leprosy is a picture of sin in all of the Scripture. We're going to talk about Naaman in a little bit. But listen, let's talk about him now. When we look at Scripture, you remember all that nasty stuff where it said the blacks, the red spots, the sores, the stuff coming out, the disfigurement, the nerve and eye damage and all that stuff. That's sickening, isn't it? Well, guess what? If we do not know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when God looks on us, that's what He sees. He sees the nasty, disfigured, sickly, dying case that we're in because we're eaten up with a sickness that's like leprosy or cancer, and it's sin, and it eats up and ultimately kills. It's contagious too. It's passed on from mother and father to child. But leprosy, look, again, and then Webster's even acknowledges the spiritual aspect, saying that leprosy is a picture of moral or spiritual harm and influence. Leprosy was the most devastating disease, not only at this time, where they still had to keep their clothes ripped and their hair unclean and holler that they were unclean, but you go all the way back, like I said, to Leviticus. But if you look over in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, we're told about a man named Naaman. Naaman was an awesome leader. He was a leader of an army. He had worked himself up in the Syrian army. But guess what happened? He got leprosy. And one of their slaves, that happened to be a Hebrew girl, talked about a man named Elisha, who had a relationship with God unlike any prophet before, and said if Naaman would go and see that prophet, he might could be healed. So Naaman goes. We talked about it not long ago. And he brings fine clothes and animals and all that stuff. And you know what? Elisha don't even come to the door. He sends a note to Naaman and he says, Naaman, if you'll just listen to me, I ain't got time to be bothered with you. I'm the Lord's man, okay? And so he wrote, and in the note, this is what it said. It says, go down to the Jordan and dip yourself six times. And you know what happened? He was healed. He was healed, his hands and his feet. Now, again, we see all these pictures of leprosy. How is that going to play a role in us being people of thanks and not complaints? Because the first thing that we have to do is we have to know where to aim our thanksgiving. We have to know where to aim our thanksgiving. Look there in verse 13 of John 17. It says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on earth." For a brief moment, I want you to stop and I want you to think about your times of thanksgiving. Where you purpose in the day. Matter of fact, it's so uncommon in America, they had to make a national holiday so that we would be reminded to give thanks. But when you say your prayers at night, or when you wake up in the morning, I bet I can tell you the things that you thank God for. Lord, I'm thankful for my home. It's not the best, it's not the finest, but it's a fine shelter over my head. Lord, I thank you for my family. Their great support and the love that helps lift me up. Thank you for my clothes. They may be out of style, but they're comfortable and I like them. Thank you for my health. I'm not 100% healthy, but I can still manage. All of these things are good to be thankful. And then, you know what happens when I think of all those things? I think about that even if others look at me poor, I am richer as a poor American than over half the rest of the earth. All of these things are good to give thanks for. I thank you for my home. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my clothes. I thank you for my health. Thank you for my country. But let's look at these 10 lepers. Before showing the sign of leprosy, before they became infected with leprosy, I bet you they had families, don't you? Probably some of them might have been a writer. Others might have been a farmer or whatever. You know what? They probably didn't have anything to do with one another before that. Because why? They were living in their blessed life. Right? But the one thing that brought them to this spot together is the realization of their sickness. And folks, I'm going to tell you this. The earth, America, needs you and I to recognize not just the sickness that's around us, but the sickness that can lie within us if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice it says there in that verse of verse 13, it says that they stood apart, or excuse me, in verse 12, it says that they stood away, or they had to stay apart. Why? Because it was against the law for them to come close to somebody that was healed. They were scared that they would get sick. Remember, most of them would say, "Run, get out of here, go away." But notice, they didn't. They were at a distance from their God. Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." You know what? You could take away the word iniquities there and put leprosy. "But your leprosy has made a separation between you and your God." Wasn't that the reality in the 10 men's life right then? Their sickness kept them from their Creator. Same is true today. Same is true today. The Bible says this, that God does not hear the prayers of a sinner. He doesn't hear when you say, "Thank you for my house, thank you for my clothes." God don't hear all that, because when He looks down, all He sees is the putrid sores and deformation of sin. And these men probably expected Jesus to do as others and say, "Get out of here, go, we don't want your kind." But you know what? When they called out, Jesus stopped and listened, didn't He? And I don't care what your thorn in the flesh is. I don't care what's going on in your life right now. But if you'll get real with Jesus and call out in His name, there's no telling what can happen. That's how we try to start off everything. He can do more than you can ever imagine. Listen to this person on Facebook. Listen to this, those that's in the parking lot. Listen to this, those of you that are here with me. Matthew 10:29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." I couldn't help but think about the sickness of leprosy, and it said that it could
can ultimately make the hairs of your head fall out. And the Creator was standing there looking at 10 men that were cursed with that leprosy. And He had an account of every hair that had ever fallen out of their head. Praise God today, brothers and sisters. He knows where you're at. He's closer than you could ever imagine. The farther He feels many times, the closer He actually is. Remember, Jesus didn't care about the deformity or the nerve damage or the eye loss or the loss of hair and the loss of digits. No, He didn't care about the outside. He was concerned about their souls, just like He was with the woman at the well. He went out of His way then, and He's going out of culture and tradition now by dealing with these lepers. And I want you to notice, they didn't ask for a home. They didn't ask for clothes. And even notice what, they didn't even ask for help. Make me healthy, Jesus. Did they? Look what they asked for. They said, Master. Master, the preacher's outline and study Bible says this, that this term master here does not simply mean rabbi or teacher, but it goes deeper than that. It carries with it the idea of commander, the chief, the one who is in charge, the one who has authority, the one who is able to meet their needs. So they say, Master, in Jesus, He says, do what? Have mercy on us. Mercy means to have pity and to take compassion on. It really means not receiving what they deserve. Those men right there, because of what they had, it was expected that they would die with that leprosy. But Jesus was not content to let that disease stay in their life. Hallelujah. And today, lost person, you have drifted away. Jesus was not content with letting you die and go to hell on your own. But He died on the cross, and He says, whosoever today will receive my mercy is there to be given. Master, one that has authority, one that has ability, one that has power. Have mercy. Take compassion. Look upon me with pity today. And you can't go anywhere without mercy but having grace. Amen? Grace is defined as blessings, gifts, or kindness. Remember, mercy is you don't get what you deserve. Grace, do you remember the acronym? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's not getting what you deserve, but more than what you asked for. Amen? That's what grace is. And this day, though these men didn't know it, they were simply asking for mercy. One of them was going to experience grace and mercy in a way that the other nine never would. Never would. So the first thing we have to do is we've got to make sure that we target our praise and thanksgiving in the right direction. Understand, it's good to have the house. It's good to have food. It's good to have all that. But the Bible says, what good is it if a man has all that and loses his soul? When's the last time that you said, God, I thank You for what You've given me, but I just want to thank You for who You are. I want to love on You a little bit. I want to crawl up in Your arms with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want You to pull me tight. And I want You to tell me everything's going to be all right. I want You to pick me up while I'm telling You thanks and just letting You love on me. The Spirit's here today. He's talking to some of you. He's talking to some of you in the parking lot, talking to some of you on Facebook. So if we want to be a people of thanks and not of complaints, we've got to target our praise on Jesus Christ and His mercy and His grace. Nothing else is worthy of worship other than that. Number two, not only do we have to aim in the right direction, you might say, but we've got to let God's Word guide our path into giving thanks. God's Word, God's truth, will guide us to a place of praise and thanksgiving if we'll let it. It will. Some men of Luke 17:14. And when He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourselves themselves unto the priest, and it came to pass that they went and they were cleansed. Now, like in many passages of Scripture, we have to ask ourselves the who, what, when, where, and why questions. And here is the what. They've got to do something that Christ told them. They've got to obey the words of their Creator. Now, some of you are already thinking like, my goodness, if it wasn't for prayer and Scripture, that man wouldn't ever preach on nothing. I want him to preach on tithing just one time so I don't got to hear about Scripture and prayer. But folks, there is nothing like the truth of God. And you remember I told you a while ago, I'm not going to take for granted anymore that everybody knows the good old Bible stories and all that stuff. You know why? Listen to this. How many of you know who Gallup is? Gallup polls. They do things. Now, if you go to newsgallup.com at Gallup polls, according to a survey held in 2017 entitled, Record Few of Americans Believe the Bible. 26% in 2017, basically 4 years ago now, 26% of Americans believe that the Bible is a book of fables, fairy tales, and moral precepts. It's just, they put it right there with Mother Goose. You understand that? That over a quarter of people in 2017 had as much respect for Mother Goose as they do the Holy Word of God, the Holy Canon of Scripture. Only 47 in 2017, 47% believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And I know what you're thinking, Brian, that's true, I know, but we live in the Bible Belt, man. Well, can I tell you this? When I came here, I was given some papers about the history of the church, and one of them came from a time where the church had intentional interim. And that interim, to help find the right pastor for Thomas Village, handed out a piece of paper with questions on it. And one of them was, do you believe that the Bible is the infallible, eternal Word of God? And I don't know how many people said yes, and I don't know how many people said no, but I do know this, that not 100% of Thomas Villingers believed the Bible. The person sitting next to you on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or it might even be you. It's a dangerous place. Where do you say it's wrong and where can you say it's right? If it's all wrong, then it's all wrong. If it's any wrong, it's all wrong. But if it's right, then it's right, and it doesn't matter what anybody else has to stand upon it. And praise God, the only way we're going to be a people of thanks instead of people of complaints is to allow the Word of God to lead us to our knees in thanksgiving. We've got to aim our praise and our thanksgiving at Jesus Christ and His grace and mercy. We've got to follow the words of Christ, the teachings. We've got to let the Word of God guide us to a place of thanksgiving. You say, Brian, you're just trying to come up with fancy points. No, I'm not. Listen, you remember I was talking about Nahum back over in 2 Kings chapter 5? Listen, and Elijah sent a messenger to Nahum saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Nahum got angry and went away saying, I thought that he would at least come out to meet me and stand and call upon the name of his Lord God and wave his hand over the place, basically do some magic wand movement, and give me the cure as a leper. Then he goes on, he says, he's still mad. He says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers in Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? The Jordan is known to be muddy and dingy, kind of like South Georgia water, I'd say. But his servants came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Naaman, listen, Naaman had the Word of God. He had, listen, the word came from God out of the prophet's mouth into the ears of Naaman. And at that point, Naaman, it was on him. You see, he got upset. He was saying, well, why can't I do it at the house? I can worship just as good at the house as I do at church. That's what he was saying. And, yeah, maybe in tree stand. But then his little one come over to him. One of his says, listen, that's an awesome word that he's just told you. Why don't you just do it? But you see, Naaman was still thinking like a man. He wasn't thinking like God, was he? God had a plan. Same thing's true with us many times. That's why we ask for those thorns to be took out of our lives. Because we can't see God's big picture. And in the long run, those thorns are going to produce roses. Those, with thorns, you've got to have rose come sooner or later. You're going to rip up the whole bush. Amen? So we... Listen. Naaman was a sick man, but he was not willing to let the word bring healing. 2 Kings 5:12. Or excuse me. Listen in Psalms 119, verse 4 and 5. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy word as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. John chapter 6, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of life eternal. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 26. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify her, or set her apart. How? Having cleansed her by the washing of the word. Remember what we said a while ago? Giving thanks is a whole lot easier. Complaining is a whole lot easier than giving thanks, ain't it? Just look at Naaman. Naaman went over there. See, he had a plan in his head like we do. We're going to ask God to heal it, and he's going to do it this way, and everything's going to be all right, right? That's how we pray. When we ask God, think, Lord, I thank you for this, but if you'll do it this way, I sure would be a whole lot happier. Amen. But look what Naaman does. Naaman says this. Well, he don't even know who I am. Surely he could have come to the door, said hey to me, at least went hocus pocus, make me better. And then what does he do there in verse 12? He begins to complain. He begins to complain. How many? He's battling. That flesh and that spirit's battling. There's a fight. There's a fight going on in Naaman. Do you remember it happens a lot to us? Lots of times it's just easier to say, my goodness, them gas prices, how far are they going up? When we could say, praise the Lord, I got a car to put gas in. You see, Naaman was complaining. See, that's why. And I want you to notice something else. As we go to a place of thanksgiving and to see what God has in store on the other side, it's going to try your faith. Ain't no question about it. Imagine Naaman. One, bloosh, two, bloosh, three, bloosh. Got to the sixth one, come up. What you reckon he did when he come up sixth time? Sure ain't looking much better. I don't think I'm going to do number six or number seven. Oh, but he went down. He let the word lead him. And then see what happens in Naaman's life. Same thing is true for the 10 lepers. They were apart from each other. Let's say like me and Brother Jimmy and Sister Yvonne. And Jesus says, they say, please, Master, one in authority, have mercy on us. Jesus looks at him and says, okay, go show yourself to the priest. Again, not like Naaman wanted. No magic wand, no hocus pocus, no anything like that. And when he said, go show yourself to the priest, they probably looked down and said, well, I'm the same way as I was. But do you reckon it was after they took one step and looked, and maybe one or two were gone? They took another step, another two or three were gone. Took another one and said, boys, look here. The farther we go to what He's done, to what He's told us to do, the more we feel the cleansing that Jesus has prescribed us. You see, yes, those storms, yes, those things, they're going to be hard, and there's going to be reasons for you to complain. But praise God, God has not called us to be a complainer. He's called us to be an example. And even in the midst of the hard times, we're to stand up and we're to give Him the glory. You see, we've got to aim our praise in the right direction. Then we have to let the Word of God guide us to a place of thanks and praise. But see, we can't just know the target. Jesus said,
Many of them. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in there? They know the name. But he says, no, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And the last thing is this. If we want to be a people of thanks, not of complaints, we have to aim it at Christ and His grace and mercy. We have to be willing to let His Word lead us to a place of thanks and mercy. And then the last thing is this. We cannot allow relationships, religion, or rebellion to hinder us from giving thanks. We cannot let relationships, religion, or rebellion keep us from giving thanks. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, some people might think that it was when they took their first step, you know what I mean? That they turned around and take the step and then boom, they noticed it. They might not have noticed it on themselves first. They might have seen it on a friend and said, hey man, how do I look? But the Bible says in verse 16, he came back and put his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, weren't they 10? Where are the other 9? Are they not found that can give glory to God except this stranger? Except this Gentile, the Samaritan? And Jesus told him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Listen, Jesus Christ has now worked a miracle in all 10 of their lives. Okay, they turn around and they're all healed. And I probably, if as I was going and I was seeing it being healed, I probably did get faster and go. You know, it's easy to get caught up in that. Because think about it. Legally, if you looked over there in Leviticus 13, the first thing that they had to do, for they could go back in the town and mingle and all that, kind of like COVID, you know what, you've got to prove yourself you ain't got the COVID before they can let you into work, right? I mean, that's the way it is. Well, that's the way it was here with the leprosy. It had to be certified by the priest. And you reckon, when they ran to the priest, man, I'd have wanted to. Yeah, let me get to the priest because something great has happened in my life. You reckon, remember a while ago we said they probably had jobs and they had families and all that stuff. Don't you think that inside of them they were saying, why, we got to go by the priest. Hurry up, priest, get this over with because mama's expecting me home. Well, praise God, she ain't expecting me, but daddy's coming home to mama and the children today. And then wouldn't you want to tell your family? But what would they say? What are they going to say when I tell them I've turned my life over to Jesus and He's performed a miracle and made a new man out of me? How are the priests going to act when I walk in and I tell them it was that Jesus of Nazareth? That, you know what? They're going to think I'm crazy. They might even start persecuting me if I line up with Him. And then, just think about this. Put yourself in the leper's shoes, okay? Or sandals, whatever. And one of your friends comes along and ain't seen you in a couple years. And he looks at you and says, man, last time I seen you, you was eat up with leprosy. Something's happened. You look good, man. What happened? And this is how the story starts. Well, there was one day I was sitting outside the gate with all my other leper friends. And this man, Jesus, come along. And then you went through it. What do you think they're going to say about you? They probably would. Don't you notice something else here? And remember, leprosy is a picture of sin. Red spots, lack of feeling and touch, pain in the palms of your hands and feet like needles, disfigurement, nerve damage, eye damage, hair loss of digits, all of that stuff. All of that was gone. And you know what? This one leper, he didn't care about the law. He didn't care about religion. He didn't care about his other relationships. What did he do? He went back and fell down at the feet of Jesus and began to simply say, thank you, thank you, thank you for loving me and working in my life and doing what you've done. Nobody else could do what you have done in my life. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit lead you to do something to give thanks or to give praise and you didn't do it. That's a horrible feeling, ain't it? I even hold on to them today. There was one time when I was a carpenter, and you know how it is when you first get saved, man, you're just on fire. You don't care. And we were I remember the place. The name of the restaurant was Mobley's Diner. We ate there a lot. I knew the people in there. And I felt the Holy Spirit touch me in my heart and say, stand up and begin to testify for me about what God has done in your life. And I didn't do it. I missed that moment. Another time was he told me to get up and go as the associate pastor, kneel down beside the head pastor, submitting to him and to God. And I didn't do it. And then I think to myself, what did I miss out on because I didn't do it? Because you notice, Jesus likes it when people give thanks to Him. He expected all 10 to come back and give thanks to Him. But He acknowledged the one. What did the people miss? I mean, hey, think about this. That day that I was there at Mobley's, in my cut-off wife beater t-shirt and ripped up jeans. If I just did what God had told me to do that day and stood up and just talked about how good and testified publicly and gave thanks to God for what He's done to me, what do you reckon the people in Mobley's would have been talking about for the rest of that afternoon? You know what? They'd probably still be telling the story. Hey, man, you remember that time we was up there eating in Mobley's and that crazy fellow stood up and started talking about Jesus and all that God had did for him? What did I miss? What did I hold back from others being able to? And then the other thing, I know I robbed God. Because like I said, they'd still be talking. Maybe not know my name, but they'd remembered His. Do you have any of those? I do. But you know what? He's promised never to remember them again. And He'll not bring them up in mind of His relationship anymore. He fell down on his knees and begin to praise and give thanks. Surrounded by Your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for You, Jesus, or in awe of You be still? Will I stand in Your presence, or to our knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. You see, that song is awesome because we don't know how it's going to be. When we enter into the greatness, holiness, and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ as a reality. Will we fall? Will we rise? Will we shout? Will we cry? Who knows? But you know what? We don't have to wait until then. Let me ask you this today. Just close your eyes and think about your life and your life alone right now. How does it feel to know that your Creator loves you with an indescribable love? How does it feel to know that your Creator loved you enough to die on the cross and take your punishment? How does it feel to know that Jesus has cleansed every sin and washed away every stain that it tried to leave on your life by His blood? How does it feel not to have to bear your sins anymore? That whenever you feel them piling on, you can say, "Dear Jesus," and He's there in an instant. How does it feel to know that at this moment, Jesus is working on and completing your eternal home in His neighborhood? Is that not awesome? Why are we waiting until we're called there? Why aren't we now falling down on bended knees and putting our faces to the floor and saying, "Thank You, thank You, thank You"? Listen, Luke chapter 7 verse 41 and following, a certain money lender had two debtors. One of owed 500 denarii and another 50. When they could not pay, the money lender canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the debt, larger debt." And Jesus said, "You have lightly
judged. Praise God today. If you've been truly cleansed from your sins, if you truly know what it is, then what's wrong with putting up two hands instead of one? What's wrong with saying amen real loud and letting them hear it on Facebook? What's wrong with even running around the church one time or falling down on your face on the altar? Well, we're Baptists. We don't do it like that. Malarkey. Praise God, COVID has showed us that the way it's always been done has been thrown out the window now. And I know some of you are saying, oh, you're getting charismatic on, you know. I'm going to tell you this. Some men's greatest thing that they could ever do in their worship to God is this. That's how God made them. Man, they're having a Holy Spirit fit when you see them lift up their hands like that. But there's others, that's just the beginning. God's created them to worship in a different way. They hear the name of Jesus and that their sin's been forgiven, and they're going to go, whoa, man, that's good. Others, it's going to drive them to their knees. You know why? Because, see, I've got things in my life that if you were ever to know, I could never show my face in front of you again. But Jesus has seen all that and loves me in the same way. Yes, to whom much has been forgiven, there should be much praise. Got to know where to aim our praise. We got to be able to let the Word lead us to thanksgiving and praise. We can't let religion, relationship, and rebellion keep us from giving Him His praise. And then the last thing I want you to see is this. Luke 17:19. I referenced this a while ago. It said, Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. I'm going to ask our piano player and our song director if they would, beginning to get ready. Now, what does it mean where it says, thy faith has made thee whole? Now, remember, with the natural course of leprosy is disfigurement and loss of digits, loss of hair. Some theologians believe that what is meant is that when he came back and he fell down and began to praise, that the hair he had lost, the eyesight he had lost, the fingers he had lost, that it all came back. Now, I kindly don't look at it like that. You see, I look at the word master, where he says, you who are of authority, you who have the power. And he says, I need your pity, I need your mercy, I need your grace in my life. And when he turned around and came back, acting on the truth of God, I believe when Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole, I believe he was talking about his eternal soul. I believe he was talking about that. The others, they got something. And it was amazing. You know what? Some people today, they're going to listen to this message. And you know what? It's going to have cause them to have goose pimples and all that. And they'll shout a little bit, but then you know what? Tomorrow they're going to forget it and they're going to go on with it. Other people's going to watch it, never say a word, may not even know they're there, but they're going to let the Word of God move in them to a place of thanksgiving. I believe we see God, our Creator, saving the soul. He's healed his physical disease, and at this point he says, I've got your spiritual covered as well. Amen? He does. Again, I want to tell you, we cannot let the culture dictate how we feel or anything like that. And the thing is yes, God can take you out, whatever the storm, whatever the sickness, whatever the thorn is, God could take it out of your life, but He doesn't always do that. But even when He doesn't do that, He still expects us to model who He is. What did Jesus do? He gave praise to the Father. Today, as we begin our altar call, the first thing, I'd say it's 1A, okay? Today, if you've been touched by the reality of what Jesus has truly done, not the food, I mean, we really don't know what it is to want for food. When's the last time you looked at a tomato and thought, that might be the last tomato I ever eat? We're spoiled. We're spoiled. He's good. He is good. He is good. He is good. And He's done so much. So today, even now, if you'd like to come to the altar and give thanks, why don't you do it?
1B is this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, praise God, He's ready to deal with whatever the issue is in your life. But the first one is that sin sickness, that leprosy, that cancer that basically now has taken over all your life. But if you'll simply pray something such as, "Dear Lord Jesus, I've broken your law and I'm sorry. I believe you died for me to take my punishment and I want to live my life for you." If you do that today, not based on my word, but based on His word, see, I'm trying to lead you to a place of eternal things through Jesus Christ. The next one is this. Maybe today you want to be rededicated. Maybe you've been saved and all that, but you've drifted away. You know what I mean? And you feel like that those 10 lepers, it's Jesus and He's there, but man, He's at a distance and I want to be a whole lot closer. Know what? Won't you get up and come down here? Because He ain't moved. He's still in the same place. And the last thing is this. Maybe you want to become a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church or whatever the need might be. But today, you have let the Lord have His will in His way. Please stand. Won't you come? The altar's coming. People's coming to the altar. You know, one of our deacons said the day that he got saved, his prayer was, "Lord, just one. Just one." And the Lord gave that one. Right now, it may not be someone in this church, but you know God's given you a burden for their salvation. Won't you come pray for them? When's the last time you've just knelt at the altar? When's the last time you've knelt, period, in reverence to God, in reverence to Jesus Christ? Like our brother sang this morning, He is the healer, and it doesn't matter the disease. Hallelujah. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. I'm sorry, I did not mean to go that long. I apologize. Is there any other words of praise or thanksgiving before we go? Glory to God, not one time. Not one time did this thing move on my face today. I give God praise for that. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? I thank y'all for your prayers for me. Thank you for letting me be a part of this church. And most of all, I pray that we will be the light that Jesus has called us to be. And again, I tell you, I believe that the best days of Thomas Village Baptist Church are not in the rearview mirror, but are just a few more miles down the road. Amen. Brother Otis, you want to close us out in prayer?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message we've heard and the challenge in the word that you gave and the grace and the mercies you show. We just ask you to be with each of us as we go our ways this evening and listen tonight on Facebook. Our pastor, as he teaches your word, not his word, but your word. And we just thank you for it. We thank you for each one here this morning. We pray for all that's in the listening and the issues in their life. And we just pray that you'd deal with them and they'd come to know you if they're not saved. But they would come to know you closer if they are saved. And we just thank you for it. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.